Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, we're going to start with a COVID-19 update, Dr. Prather, and we've been on a nice vacation.
Mm-hmm. Nice vacation.
Took like a little break from COVID-19.
Yes. Yes. Well, we were away from people quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
So that made it very nice. We were up in northern Michigan, out in the woods.
We were? Oh, yeah.
It hit the fall colors, which was absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Very good for one's health.
Yes.
You know, lots of
vacations
fresh air.
Vacations are good for one's
right.
health.
Low stress.
Mm-hmm.
And just had a wonderful time.
We did. So what is going on right now with COVID-19 in Indiana?
Officially, right now, they have about 142,000 cases,
mm-hmm.
and they have deaths of about 3,836, mm-hmm. is what they've got listed at this point. One of the things, of course, to look at is that the number of cases have risen quite a bit
mm-hmm.
recently, which is something that they're concerned about. But it's interesting, but the death rate really hasn't changed.
The death rate hasn't changed.
No, pretty well consistent, and we had a high earlier in March. And
the death rate.
But actually, at this point, it's holding pretty steady. There, you know, if you look at the graph, it looks like it's going straight across at this point.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like they're talking about the death rate.
Well, the death rate isn't very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're trying to get things kind of worked up, the main thing that they're concentrating on right now is the rise in the number of cases, which seems to be very true.
Mm-hmm.
There is a definite rise, but the death rate is actually holding pretty steady. One thing as I talk about the 3,836 deaths is that the CDC and pretty well everybody agrees about 94% of those people died with comorbidities.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is they just didn't die from the COVID-19, but they had other things. A couple of cases that I know of were end-stage kidney disease, chronic
mm-hmm.
kidney disease, and they knew that they were going to die within a month anyway. Heart attack, brain tumor, all those different types of cases that I know personally that were involved with the deaths of the individual. So it's 94% of them had comorbidities, and 6% really completely died from the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So keeping those numbers in mind helps to bring it into a little bit different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any death,
not
of course.
Not taking away
mm-hmm. of serious illness,
mm-hmm.
but making people aware that there are other factors that are going on that. And a lot of the people were about ready to die within the next month anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping that in mind, one of the things that we want to do, and I believe in that, is there seems to be a real need for the media to create more of a panic.
Mm-hmm.
And being upbeat and positive on things and looking at the complete truth of it,
mm-hmm.
we feel is a very important aspect of that. Because the truth is really what we're all looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, having that transparency in the numbers is a very helpful type of thing. And really looking at this and deciding. And again, we're not going to really have the true numbers for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be about a 2-year gap to really get everything down. But then I think that'll give a little bit clearer picture. And we don't want to downplay the pandemic, but we don't want to sensationalize it, which I think has actually been done quite a bit in the media.
And I know we hear a lot from people that these updates that we're doing give them a lot of hope if they're going into that fear.
Oh, yes. If you listen to the media, I mean, it's pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
So really stepping back and saying, hey, what's really going on, I feel is an important part. And what we want to do is actually give what's accurate and what's true.
Mm-hmm. So what's happening in the United States with COVID?
They have about 7.94 million people that have been diagnosed with the COVID-19 and about 216,000 deaths. And again, on a national level, we find that the death rate is holding pretty steady, mm-hmm. even though the number of cases have actually gotten higher, which I believe is actually occurring. One of the things I feel that really why that's holding steady is our ability to treat it is much better. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we were doing was putting people on ventilators, which was absolutely the wrong thing to do, mm-hmm. and actually wound up killing a lot of the people who probably may not have even died otherwise. So we know a lot more about the treatment, mm-hmm. The treatments that our president, Donald Trump, had. Very effective on that. If we kind of follow those types of guidelines now, then we should have in other words, it's not as deadly of a disease as it used to be, mainly because we have a lot more knowledge on how to treat it. Mm-hmm. So you can rest assured that the treatments are going to be much more effective.
And you were saying, so how many deaths have been in the United States?
216,000.
Okay, and you're saying 6% of those were people that died from COVID-19.
COVID-19.
94% had comorbidity.
Comorbidities, right.
So I can't do the math, but 6% of that, you know, would be 15,000. I mean...
Yeah, more like 15,000.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, keeping that in mind, and of course, you know, there's some, you know, very sad cases along those lines.
Right.
And even then, if you have comorbidities, it could have speeded up, you know, some mm-hmm. of the death rates. Some of it, no. Mm-hmm. But really separating that out will be something that will take time and better numbers. But the way that we're kind of doing it at this point, it's definitely at the we're kind of overstating what the numbers really are.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about what's happening in the world. What's the world situation with COVID-19?
Well, the world situation, 38.4 million people have been diagnosed with it, and 1.09 million have actually died.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, as you're looking at this, two of the places that really didn't shut anything down or really do any type of lockdown was Sweden and Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at their percentages and their numbers, they were really the bad boys. Fauci really said, oh, you know, they really paid a price. But one of the worst things that actually happened with that is that their rest homes, nursing homes,
mm-hmm.
What they would do is somebody caught it, then they would take them to the nursing home. Mm-hmm. They actually did that in New York also, which actually was one of the reasons that those areas had such a high death rate.
Oh.
So, you know, the number of people that actually had it, and if you actually look at the percentages of deaths compared to other countries, really, there isn't really a big difference on that. I mean, you know, it's pretty much right along with the
so
same
So they didn't
pattern.
Isolate them?
Well, what they did is they actually, most of the deaths, about 40 to 50%
mm-hmm.
of all the deaths in Europe and in the United States was in nursing homes.
Nursing homes, okay.
So, you know, how we actually treated the nursing homes was one of the big things. And also one of the reasons that, you know, now when somebody gets the COVID-19, they don't take them to a nursing home, which in my opinion was about the stupidest thing you possibly could do.
Mm-hmm.
So controlling the nursing homes, really finding out how to treat the people who are, if we want to cut down on the deaths, really concentrate on the people who are at risk,
mm-hmm.
and then making sure that they're taken care of, really cuts down the death rate far more than worrying about teenagers and 20-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the highest number of people who are showing positive for the COVID-19 are between 20 and 29.
Mm.
So that's where the greatest number is.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're out. They're not going to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
20-year-olds, so they have a higher possibility of actually catching it, and they get together a lot more. I've known four
mm-hmm.
who've tested positive recently in the last couple of weeks, and they didn't even show any signs or symptoms. They didn't even have a sniffle.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, they only got tested because they had one of their friends show up positive.
Right.
So they went in and got tested, showed up positive, but no signs or symptoms whatsoever.
So is there going to be a second wave of COVID-19?
There actually, one of the big questions is, where are we going to get a second wave?
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that we had talked about earlier. Fauci has actually been warning that that's occurring. It does seem to be occurring in several countries at this point. Is it starting in the United States? Some are saying it's the beginning of it, but we probably will see an increase. Now, whether that actually results in an increase in the death rate or if the death rate actually stays steady, it depends on how we actually handle things. But at this point, yes, it does look like we'll have a second wave. Mm-hmm. How we handle it is going to be very interesting. And I think how we handle it is actually going to be, they're talking about the science actually ruling it, but really there's an awful lot of politics in the science. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid we just can't get away from that.
Yeah.
So it's going to depend quite a bit on the politics on how we handle it, not necessarily the science.
Mm-hmm. So what can be done personally?
The things that actually have shown up very highly is to make sure that we take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Do all the things, eat right, avoid sugar, get your rest, do all exercise. Being indoors is actually one of the biggest things that actually increase your chances of getting.
Right, it's not a good thing.
Right, mm-hmm. Actually being outdoors, taking a walk. I know that there were people on social media said, all these people out there walking with this disease, they need to get inside. Well, that's the worst thing you can do.
Right.
Being outside, the more you're outside, the less chance you are of actually getting it. So being out there in the outdoors, taking all these walks is excellent. The fresh air is actually the least likely place that you're actually going to get it. And then also, making sure that you're up on your zinc, mm-hmm. Your vitamin D, your vitamin C. The zinc is actually probably the most important thing. Vitamin D would probably be second, and vitamin C would be third. Mm-hmm. Making sure that you're up along those lines and that you're avoiding stress and avoiding aggression. So hopefully we don't have any stressful events coming up soon.
Funny. And that's going to lead us now. Take a quick break, but when we come back, we're gonna talk about that, how our emotions affect our health.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology.
One of the chiropractic friends who is a soft tissue expert, his textbook, Soft Tissue Therapy, is the one used in medical schools, heavily used as sort of the Bible for soft tissue work. And as soon as he saw rapid release, he switched all of his treatments over to the rapid release because it's much easier on the doctor. You get quicker results, less painful, much better compliance. So when people would be coming in for the Grasson, they would be going, I like the results, but I don't know if I really want to do that. Whereas with rapid release, they come running in and really want that done.
Because yeah, they ask like, for it.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we got you cured, but can I have it again anyway?
Well, many patients have bought them.
It's an amazing device and incredible results. It's a great way to get your body relaxed and get those aches and pains out of your system.
As you're using the rapid release, you can see people go into that deep breathing and going more into that, what we call the parasympathetic mode or the rest and digest.
Really switches and has a huge effect on the nervous system.
And the sessions aren't long. You just do a few minutes in each area.
One of the patients recently with a massage therapist, as she was doing a massage on him, she's going, boy, I'm just having trouble really getting this released. I walked out, got the rapid release, and she did it, and the patient was like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. And she was saying, I got to use that more. To get those problem areas, it works so much quicker, so much easier. It just takes off all the stress of me trying to really work that out. And it's easier on the patient, too.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid release banner and enter code PRATHER2020 for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
Since 1893, the Wheeler Mission has been ministering to the homeless, poor, and needy in central Indiana. The Prather Practice is honored to be partnering with the Wheeler Mission to help meet the immediate needs of those they serve, and we're inviting you to partner along with us. Right now, the Wheeler Mission has a need for masks, bottled water, and new unopened underwear in all sizes for men, women, and children. The Prather Practice is now collecting these items for the Wheeler Mission, and you can drop off items at our office at 8902 North Meridian, Suite 101. The Wheeler Mission exists to provide Christ-centered programs and services to the homeless and those in need. Their vision is to see every man, woman, and child they serve equipped to be productive citizens who enjoy lasting success in Christ. Your gift turns this vision into reality. Learn more about the work of the Wheeler Mission and how you can help by visiting their website at wheelermission.org.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
We're going to talk about kindness, good for the body and good for the soul. Is this a good time to talk about kindness?
It's a very important time to talk about kindness. Mm-hmm. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit and something that we really need quite a bit right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can tell that's been tested. I've been tested, you know, and what does our pastor say? We don't have shock absorbers right now for all this, you know, with what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
There's no shock absorbers for our emotions. And so tell me, you came up with this title. What is meant by this title?
Well, it's something that I feel very strongly about. It just breaks my heart to see Americans fighting in the streets, people getting shot, seeing people angry. I had one gal, we were waiting in line, and I was trying to follow our food in front of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, because they were moving along and they were asking me questions, so I was moving up. She felt I had gotten too close to her, and that she let me know in no uncertain terms that I had invaded her space.
Yeah.
You know, where's that 6 feet? But, you know, nobody was at that point within 6 feet, and it was kind of hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do I respond in that type of situation? You know, I listened and just said, oh, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, was just trying to, you know, keep up with the food, and I apologize and stuff like that. And, you know, turn that around, not being defensive, mm-hmm. not being in a situation, but always, when I think about kindness, one of the important parts of that is empathy.
Yes.
You know, putting yourself in the other person's place and not jumping to conclusions. But trying to think of what is the best reason that they could be responding for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there and I said, well, you know, she might have some, you know, diabetes. She could have some chronic kidney diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, worried about the whole situation. You know, obviously there was a lot of fear in the person's life. And fear, you know, it makes you snappy.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, you know, sweetheart, you know, I really need a little bit more space here. Can you, you know?
Did she call you sweetheart?
No, that was not what she said to me.
But if I don't know if I'd want her to call you sweetheart.
Well, you know, but I mean, you know, just being
being. Did you just nice. Call him sweetheart?
Oh, now we're getting away from the kindness here.
Yeah, kindness stops.
You know, how do you respond? Do you, you know, defuse the situation or do you make it worse?
Right. And people, you know, I find myself too getting offended so easily.
Sure.
You know, and we should start thinking the best of each other. You know, I got to work on this. I'll be honest, you know.
Right.
But always giving that person, you... I'm going to a shout out to you because you're probably the most empathetic person I know.
Thank you.
I said empathetic, right? Yes. Not pathetic. No, I'm just kidding.
Pathetic.
Most pathetic. Empathetic. No, you really are. And when you you say you understand, I mean, I see it day in and day out with myself, your family, with your patients, with your staff. So I learn a lot from you on this whole thing with kindness. But you might have answered this, but what motivated you to talk about this subject? Just what's going on in the world?
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing people getting all upset about, you know, both ways. People who say, you know, wearing the mask and they're getting ticked about it. Mm-hmm. People who are saying you're not wearing a mask and getting upset. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the whole disease aspect where it's really dividing people. Mm-hmm. Then we also see the whole political divide. Mm-hmm. We've got a very important election going on. And people feel very passionately about it. Mm-hmm. And there has been a strong emphasis from the politicians to really get, and from people in the media, to try to get people to get emotional mm-hmm. about it. And, you know, passion is one thing, getting angry and aggressive is a totally different type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, where we are all Americans, you know, we're going to have another election, presidential election in 4 years. We're going to have another election in 2 years. And we need to still be all Americans and understand where the other person is coming from. So one of the things, you know, how do we go about doing that?
Right.
How do we have a kindness in our hearts? And, you know, I look at some of the lives of some of the people who have lost them and some of these arguments that are going on. And, you know, it breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. You know, these were on both sides, you know, people who actually probably had good intentions. Mm-hmm. And the person who killed the other person and the person who actually died. You know, if they had met under a different circumstance, they could have been friends.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I just think, too, of Jesus' disciples.
Oh, yes.
They were all, they had different views politically. Mm-hmm. You know, one was a tax collector. One was...
Zealot.
Zealot, which... Explain that.
Yeah, a zealot was someone who was ready to die to end the Roman occupation.
Right.
And a zealot had sworn to, if they met a tax collector, they were supposed to kill them. Mm-hmm. And here they were brother disciples at that point. Right. So they were mortal enemies.
And Jesus brought them all together.
Right.
And invested his life for those 3 years.
Right.
And many of them died for him.
Right.
Later on. So it's just...
And they became... Yeah, they became brothers.
Yes. You know, and... I'm sure they had heavy discussions around the campfire.
Sure.
But...
Right.
You know, it's almost like we need to hold on to this life loosely. You know what I'm saying? And not... just breathe this aggression.
Right. We have more in common than we do truly to have separation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, I mean, you know, how do we sit there and foster that type of thing? And, you know, just to let you know, feelings are catchy.
Yeah.
So
you can even pick them up with just someone looking at you.
Right. Because people put out pheromones.
Mm-hmm.
And we can put out happy pheromones or sexy pheromones or angry pheromones.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of spreads through the whole thing. So as an individual, what is the choice that we make? Are we going to, we do have a frontal lobe. We need to keep that working and make a honest and direct decision that we're not going to contribute to this anger and you know, anxiety and aggression that is going on right now.
Right.
And if I have to sit there and remind myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I feel strongly on politics.
Mm-hmm.
I feel strongly on, you know, what is proper health care.
Mm-hmm.
But having that that empathy, saying where is that individual coming from, and giving them the benefit of the doubt, and working with them along those lines, and actually listening to them.
Right.
You know, not trying to get my point across, because I figure I'm not going to change their mind.
No.
But if I can sit there and take down their level of aggression, make them feel better. You know, I want every single American to vote, you know, mm-hmm. even if they're voting against what I believe, you know, because they're Americans. And we have a discourse and a discussion. And at the same time, afterwards, we have that discussion. We're all Americans. I loved what Pence said in the vice presidential debate, where Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg were the best of friends.
Yes.
Their families were together.
Mm-hmm.
And they broke bread together, and they didn't agree on anything mm-hmm. politically. But they could still coexist and actually have a love for one another and respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do this and get worked up over it.
Right.
You can disagree and still be on the same side.
Okay. Well, when we come back, let's talk about structure function healthcare, what role that plays in these emotions.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
George Burns is a phenomenon. At the age of 93, I would guess he is probably, certainly America's oldest active entertainer. And the amazing thing is, I guess the greatest success that George had came in the last 20, 23 years of his life. What number of cigar is this for you today now?
This is my 10th or 11th cigar. I smoke between 15 and 20 cigars a day.
Not yours. Hasn't your doctor said to you, now, George, you got
my doctor is dead.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
The loss of taste and smell as one of the signs of how severe COVID-19 is going to be for the patient. And that's always a sign of severe zinc deficiency. Why aren't we going out there and checking people for zinc? We don't recommend that everybody go out and take zinc. That's absolutely true. Everybody should be going out there and having their zinc level tested, which we do in our office. Vitamin D levels are very well acknowledged as a very big reason on why you're more susceptible to COVID-19. If you have a deficiency on vitamin A, that increases viral spread. In older people, those deficiencies become much more prominent. Most of the people, if we actually test them, who have actually died from COVID-19, would usually probably show that some of those things are extremely deficient as one of the major reasons on why they died.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the NDA List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row.
And we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google Plus.
Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048.
Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.
The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice.
where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, we're talking about kindness, good for the body and good for the soul. So I think now more than ever, this is something we need to live by. And I like that you said it's the Beatitude in the Bible. So let's talk about how has being in structure function health field made you more tolerant? Is tolerant the word?
Tolerant is a great word for that. Uh-huh. One of the things is I believe that structure function care should be 80% of all health care. Mm-hmm. 20% should be a disease care model. And when I first started out in healthcare, opening up my own practice in 1985, there wasn't a whole lot of support along those lines, especially among doctors. Mm-hmm. So I'd actually gone around to try to visit with different doctors, and they wouldn't have any. A lot of them, actually, now that I talked to that wouldn't talk to me.
30 years ago
are actually now trying to do structure function care.
Isn't that interesting?
So it's something that you realize with time that things start to change. It's a slow process. And I could have butted my head against the wall and yelled and screamed, hey, this is wrong.
This is not fair.
Right. Mm-hmm. And realizing that life isn't fair, truth isn't always understood by everybody. But if you have the truth, what you do is you chip away and you be tolerant. You understand the other person's position. You don't get into an argument over things. Mm-hmm. I know when you first married me and saw the all the different wonderful things we were doing on people's, you felt everybody should be able to embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't true.
Right. Not everybody is going to.
Right. Mm-hmm. I had one, a gal who's a pharmacist, who we knew as friends, and her dad was an MD. And as she liked to tell me, she said, you know, a chiropractor. She said, my dad used to say, you know, that there's two things that the spine helps to support, the body and chiropractors. And, in a kind of a demeaning way.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't think that, you know, there was any worth. She started to have some health problems, decided to kind of give this a try. And she's probably our biggest fan ever.
Right.
But, you know, I wasn't offended.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take the, you know, I laughed at the insults.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And said, well, you know, tell me about it. You know, I wanted to hear, you know, what her health concerns were.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to talk to me, and I said, well, you know, if you want to know, this is what I would do in that situation, and this might be something you might consider on a personal level. So she would try a few things, and they actually helped. And she said, well, you know, I've got a real problem. You know, they can't solve it. So she came in and we just solved so many of her issues. And then her family issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a gradual type of thing. And it was a matter of how did I approach that?
Right.
Was I antagonistic? Was I aggressive? Did I say, no, you've got to listen to me? No, I listened to her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it was something that the truth won out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we need to look at, is not trying to rely on the truth of what you're saying. And quite frankly, everybody has some truths.
Right.
And I need to listen to other people's truths, too, for them to ever listen to my truth. And I have to be open that I am willing to learn and expand what my knowledge is.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what is the relationship between tolerance and kindness?
Well, you know, it's very hard to be kind if you're not tolerant.
Mm.
Because intolerance will always come across if that's what you're feeling in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that will lead to unkindness.
And just checking your heart and your mind.
Sure.
You know.
And really have a people know if you're being condescending,
mm-hmm.
you know, and aren't really listening. So tolerance is actually the beginning of kindness.
Mm-hmm. So how does kindness help our health? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, being kind, you know, there's so many different types of effects when we have kindness. It changes our whole nervous system. Mm-hmm. It switches us from what we call a sympathetic, which is fight flight, to a parasympathetic, which is rest and digest, where we actually have a building of our health. That's where the immune system works well. It's where our digestive system works well. Mm. And our nervous system is something that can be controlled if we actually practice kindness to ourselves and to others. Mm. If we start to get aggressive and we become aggressive and anxious and mean to people, that actually produces a whole different nervous system to us. It also affects our hormones. Will all shift. If we're kind, then it increases our oxytocin, which is a feel-good hormone, helps our dopamine and serotonin secretions, whereas the other will actually increase our cortisol and will actually cause a whole change of reactions. Even the pH of our body actually shifts.
Wow. Our digestive
system. Yeah, our digestive system shuts mm-hmm. down, our immune system shuts down. And that type of thing will just start to wear us out. I have so many patients say that, you know, that they're coming into the office just so that they can maintain their sanity. And or I've had several patients said, my spouse sent me in here because we need to kind of get things toned down a little bit.
Right, right.
So it can have a big effect on who and what you are. And it not only affects yourself, but it also, you produce chemicals that transmit to other people that actually has a chain reaction.
Right. People can feel.
They can smell it.
Off.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a huge amount of the pheromones of our bodies. And
yeah.
And it has to be real that it actually changes.
And it's hard because we have those masks on and we can't even see facial expressions.
And that's hard. That actually makes things worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I try to smile with my eyes, but...
Yeah. I had one gal come in today and on her mask, it was a great big huge smile.
Was it?
Yes. She said, I always smile at people and I want people to know that I'm actually smiling at them. So I've got a great big huge... Because I commented on how nice that was,
yeah.
You know, just to be able to look at that. And she said, oh, thank you. She yeah. said, I get a lot of compliments on that.
I need to have one of those. So how does, or why does anger and aggression lead to more anger and aggression?
Well, you know, it's a matter of a cyclic type of thing. Because as you start to have that anger and aggression, it actually starts to wear out the nervous system mm-hmm. and the endocrine system. Mm-hmm. Your digestion starts to go. Your immune system starts to go, and you start to feel worse. And then that actually leads to more anger and aggression. Mm-hmm. So in our own bodies, anger and aggression will change our chemicals, start to wear things out, and so our tolerance is actually much less. So if somebody came up and poked you about 3 times, and you were in a pretty good mood, you could probably take them poking you about 30 times before you'd get kind of annoyed. If you are already in a sympathetic mode, fight, flight, mm-hmm. it probably takes only one poke.
Right.
And then you're going to poke them back. So our ability to actually handle more stressors in our life actually start to decrease. And then it becomes a terrible cycle in our system. And it keeps on getting worse and worse. And I have people who say, I can't actually break the cycle of being angry and aggressive right now. You know, and everything that I'm doing, and that I need to break that cycle. Then also that cycle also then leads to other people getting them angry, and they get angry at you, which actually starts to make the whole thing worse.
Right.
So we have to start with ourselves and really try to change the whole thing.
When we come back, let's talk about how the Prather practice helps patients break that anger and aggression cycle. We'll be right back.
Right.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
We even look at the blood test differently. I get in medical doctors and nurse practitioners, and I need to retrain them. It's easier to take people who are lay people and train them on my blood work, because I don't have to unlearn them, because they've been already told on looking at it from a disease care standpoint. When I get a nurse practitioner, she comes to me with this blood work and says, you know, this is what the patient has, but I don't see anything really wrong with the blood test, and I point out to them where the deficiencies are. Then they go, oh, okay. Because what they look at is the reference ranges, and the reference ranges has nothing to do with what is the optimal blood test. There are optimal blood panels that should be done. TSH should be 2.5. Thyroxin should be 8.0 to 8.5. All those different types of lab values should be at very particular points for optimal reading, and that's what we look at.
And the reference ranges aren't the optimal.
No, the reference ranges are what 50% of the population has.
Well, I want to be better than the 50% of the population.
And a lot of the 50% are sick. So the optimal ranges may not be even in the reference range.
Why did they do reference range? To help the doctor?
Well, the reference range is just a ballpark of where things should be. The federal government had told them that they can't put down optimal ranges. I'm not quite sure why, but they don't want the labs to determine what that is. The doctors should, but the doctors aren't really trained in optimal. That's not part of their training. When you go through medical school, you get 15 hours of reading blood test. I have over 600 hours of reading blood test.
Big
difference. To understand how that all goes together. So it's a different type of a pattern along those lines, a different way of thinking about it. There are many times where I get a patient in and their doctor has already read their blood tests. They bring in their old blood tests and, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. What they mean is that there's no pharmaceutical or surgery that we need to do. That's what that means. In other words, there's nothing that I can really do for you according to this. Whereas I look at that, and if they have low adrenals, that's not something that the medical profession will treat. But we do, because we're dealing with structure function, we're looking at balance. We don't use poisons and toxins, which are pharmaceutically based. What we do is we use natural products to enhance and balance out the system and bring the body into optimal performance, which is a huge difference from how they treat medically. Disease care.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Don't stop believing. Hold to that greener, yeah.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking about kindness, good for the body and good for the soul. So at the Prather Practice, how do you help patients break the anger and aggression cycle?
Well, we really look at the underlying problems. That cycle, the nervous system has been compromised. The endocrine system has been compromised, the digestive system. So what we need to do is actually get those reset into a system, because a lot of times they've just gotten into the cycle and they can't help it anymore.
Well, and we can just talk not only about anger and aggression, but fear cycle.
Fear
paralyzes
absolutely.
Some people.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, that's a big thing that people always come in with. And, you know, getting that changed and getting that nervous system settled down, getting the hormones settled down, getting the emotions changed, getting the digestion going again, makes a world of difference on how people feel.
Yeah. So let's talk about some services that seem to really help in this area. How can chiropractic help?
Well, I mean, today, about half the patients that were coming in, because we had quite a few, for chiropractic adjustments. And they were just saying, you know, I was talking to one gal, and she says, you know, my coworkers sit there and say, you know, I can tell the difference because you say, I'm going to go to the chiropractor
Yeah.
today. And they all go, good. they said none of them actually believe in chiropractic, but mm-hmm. they believe that it helps, that they can tell the next day that there's a difference in me.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that whole thing.
Well, your coworkers you spend a lot of time with, sometimes more than your family.
Right. Yeah. So we have husbands, we have kids, you know, who send in their moms and say, yeah. you know, hey, mom, you need a chiropractic adjustment. And what that does is that helps to shift the whole nervous system. Because mm-hmm. our nervous system controls so much of what we're doing. And really, chiropractic, they think of bones, but it's really the nervous system that we're dealing with, and we're relieving stress off of those. And then there's a whole shift on how that nervous system is working at that point.
Well, I know one of our new employees got our first Atlas orthogonal adjustment, which yes. we talked about last week. And everybody's commenting how much better she was, more into that fear mode.
Right.
And constantly worrying and thinking about things and...
Sure.
Yeah. Now she says her mind is empty.
I'm not quite sure if that's the best way to put it.
Come to get your Atlas orthogonal adjustment and have an empty mind.
Well, you know, and what was happening was thoughts were just constantly, negative thoughts were constantly going mm-hmm. through her head. She couldn't get them to stop.
Right.
And, you know, things weren't really helping, and she got that adjustment, and it cleared out her nervous system, and those thoughts stopped.
And moved her into more of a parasympathetic.
Yeah, parasympathetic. Mm-hmm. She said, I haven't felt this good in years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How about acupuncture? Now, I know this is a big one for me.
Oh, yes.
Helps. Yeah.
Yeah, the acupuncture is absolutely just amazing on getting the body to calm. Mm-hmm. If you do blood tests on somebody who's getting acupuncture, their cortisol with the acupuncture starts to drop almost immediately. Their oxytocin.
And explain cortisol.
Cortisol is the fight flight. So it's
a hormone.
It's a hormone that, so it's there in case a tiger walks in.
Mm-hmm. Boss.
It can be a boss. It can mm-hmm. be anything. Any type of tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And your body sits there and says, you know, I'm not really going to worry about the immune system right now. I'm not really going to worry about digesting. And I'm going to put you on high alert, and you are ready to run or fight. Because mm-hmm. we need you. We need everything ready along those lines.
I think that's what people are in, the sympathetic.
That's absolutely mm-hmm. what people are in. They've got, we've got a whole bunch of tigers walking around right now, and people are just like jumping all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ready to attack. They're ready to be aggressive. Or they're ready to run. So we've got the fear where that could be playing in, or we can have the aggression kicking in. And that is what's going on. And you get an immediate hormonal change according to that. With the acupuncture. So the mm-hmm. cortisol drops
mm-hmm.
so that the tigers go away, even if they you know, haven't. And then the oxytocin, which is that feel good, like, you know, you got that when you hold a baby and or get a hug, mm-hmm. oxytocin goes up.
And we're not hugging each other.
Like. No. And see,
but
that's,
you and I are.
Yeah, right, right. But
for those listeners out there, they might not know we're married. We are married.
Well, oh, good. That's always really nice to know,
well,
because we do seem pretty intimate.
And people will ask that get acupuncture, what kind of drugs did you put in those needles?
Because
they go into that parasympathetic mode we were talking about.
Right. Yeah. Well, opiates actually increase naturally within the body.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things...
The actual opiates. Yeah.
Yes. I've been called in into the consult room with patients who had actually gotten addicted to opiates, you know, mm-hmm. through prescriptions and different types of ways. And they said, I know when I get an opiate. Mm-hmm. You put opiates...
And then
on those needles. And uh-huh. and we want to know, you know, because I'm not supposed to have those.
Right.
You know, is this something that I need to be, you know, what's going on? I said, no, those are your natural opiates that you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, really? I said, yes. And those are good for you.
Yes.
Those are not
ones.
Bad. So you get a nice opiate rush from
come
from
and
acupuncture.
Get your opiate rush. Oh, I know another thing that really helps me is Twice a month, I get my massages.
Oh.
We have excellent massage therapists.
Yes.
And I know you get two a week.
I know. That's why I'm so kind to everybody.
And
those
right.
days,
you
I'm even more
it.
Kind. But yes, I mean, nobody can deny the power of touch, and mm-hmm. getting a massage is just absolutely wonderful. We have all these confrontations between the two different camps.
Yeah. Politically, you're talking about.
Politically, if everybody got a massage beforehand, it would all go a whole lot better. They might even start playing music and having a dance instead of, you know, throwing things at each other.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
That's what we should, you know, at all these protests set up.
Massage tables. Yes.
free chair massage.
Police, you know, Antifa guy next.
Yeah, TV doing free hugs.
Right.
Well, let's talk about flower remedies and the role they can play in helping, you know, to create calm.
Sure. A lot of that was actually started by Dr. Bach in England.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Bach remedies. What he found is that when people got around flowers, they actually calmed down and were able to take them into different emotional states, naturalized. So what he did was he was able to get those flower essences, get them into a tincture, and give them to people and actually create that emotional calm. And different flowers have different effects on people's emotions.
Mm.
And it can really have a huge healing type of effect on very even serious mental health issues. But even then, very, very excellent results with people who are just going through anxiety, stress, aggression, really getting those things calmed down.
And they are in a liquid form.
In a liquid form, mm-hmm. very easy to take, and no side effects.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great way to just get that whole emotional balance back to where it needs to be.
So what steps can we all take to de-escalate tension and stress, you know, right now in our lives and others as, you know, we're coming up to a...
Yes, a very stressful time.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is you know, wrong, or everybody is right. Neither are we.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that we need to have empathy. Understand that people are really trying to do good, and that they might have a different type of a direction that they're going, but usually, oftentimes, they're wanting to get the same outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that and being kind to one another and being a Scalia and a Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a great way of actually doing that.
So if someone has a sign out in front of their house that is not someone you're going to be voting for,
right.
Take them cookies or something.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, you know, what you do is you sit there and do an act of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is pick out somebody who really has an opposite view of you, do something nice for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do not poison the cookies.
Right, do not poison the cookies. And you're not trying to change their mind.
Right.
You're just saying,
you're respecting
hey,
them.
You're a fellow American, you're a fellow human being. I respect your viewpoint, and I want to do something nice to you.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather.
Thank you,
always.
Lisa. Appreciate it.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.